The first time I felt something shift, it wasn't loud. It didn't come with a fight or an accusation. It came with her hands on my shoulders, steadying me, telling me to slow my breathing like she was talking a plane down from the sky. She said panic was dangerous. She said panic made people sloppy. She said if we stayed calm, nothing bad could happen, because we were a team. She always said that word like it had weight, like it could hold us in place if everything else failed. We had already shared everything by then. Passwords, bank accounts, private thoughts I'd never spoken out loud before her. She knew which fears still woke me up at night, and which mistakes I pretended didn't bother me. There was nothing left to hide, and I mistook that for safety. When the first official email arrived, she read it before I did. She summarized it gently, like bad news delivered in a hospital hallway. When the phone call started, she told me what to say, what not to say, when to stop talking. She framed it as protection. She framed everything as protection. The night the investigators showed up, she cried harder than anyone else in the room. She clung to my arm like she'd fall apart without me. I remember thinking, at least I'm not alone. I didn't realize that by then, she already was. When I met her, I wasn't looking for someone to manage my life. I was looking for someone who understood it. She had this way of listening that made silence feel productive instead of awkward. When I talked about work, about the pressure, about the corners I cut just to keep things moving, she didn't interrupt. She asked questions that felt like concern, not suspicion. She liked order. She liked systems. She said chaos was where people got hurt. I admired that about her because my life felt like a series of loose ends pretending to be a plan. She made lists. She remembered dates. She noticed patterns I missed. Being with her felt like finally having someone on my side of the table. Early on, she suggested we be fully transparent. She said secrets rot relationships from the inside. She said couples fail because they curate themselves instead of showing up honestly. I believed her because it sounded mature, responsible, grown. So, I gave her access. My phone, my email, my accounts. Not because she demanded it, but because she framed it as mutual. She shared hers too, at least in theory. She said trust wasn't real, unless it was inconvenient. At night, we talked about mistakes like they were weather systems. Unfortunate, but survivable. I told her about decisions at work that lived in gray areas. Missed paperwork. Shortcuts that saved time but bent rules. Nothing dramatic. Nothing I thought could destroy me. She listened carefully, sometimes asking me to repeat details so she could understand the full picture. She said understanding protected us. When I worried out loud, she soothed me. She said people get in trouble when they panic, not when they make honest mistakes. She said the world was full of people who looked worse on paper than they were in real life. She said if anyone ever questioned me, we'd make sure my story was told properly. That word again, we. She helped me phrase emails. She suggested which conversations were worth documenting and which ones would only create noise. She said clarity mattered. She said tone mattered. She said consistency mattered. I started to rely on her judgment more than my own, not because she asked me to, but because it felt easier. The first time I felt uneasy was small. I caught her taking notes during one of our late-night talks. When I asked about it, she laughed and said stress made her forgetful. She said writing things down helped her sleep. She said I should be grateful someone cared enough to keep track. I told myself I was lucky. By the time pressure from work increased, by the time questions started circling closer, she had already positioned herself as my anchor. She was the calm one, the reasonable one, the person everyone trusted. I didn't notice how often the problems were framed as mine. When my supervisor started asking for clarification, she treated it like a drill, not a crisis. She asked me to walk her through timelines slowly, carefully. She corrected me when my memory wavered. She said inconsistencies were how people got misunderstood. She said precision was kindness. She started organizing my past like a filing system. Emails sorted by relevance. Messages flagged. Documents saved in folders labeled with dates and outcomes. She said she was helping me prepare, just in case. I told myself I was grateful. The more organized she became, the more anxious I felt, though I couldn't explain why. Every conversation turned into a rehearsal. Every answer had to be framed just right. She would stop me mid-sentence and suggest a cleaner version. One that sounded calmer. One that sounded less defensive. She said defensiveness looked like guilt. When the internal review became official, she cried. She cried in front of friends. In front of my family. She said she was scared for us. She said she believed in me completely. Her grief made my own fear feel selfish, so I swallowed it. At home, the questions intensified. She asked me to repeat stories again and again, always under the guise of reassurance. She said knowing the details helped her feel grounded. She said uncertainty made her anxious. I didn't realize she was testing my consistency. When the investigators requested records, she already had them. When they asked for timelines, she provided context. She never lied. She clarified. She used my words, my emails, my confessions. Each one placed me closer to the center of the narrative. I started to feel like my life was being narrated by someone else. The day they asked to speak with us separately, she squeezed my hand and told me to tell the truth. She said truth was our only defense. Her voice was steady. I answered questions until my throat hurt. I waited for her to come back. She didn't. Later, I learned she had already spoken, extensively, calmly. She framed herself as concerned, not complicit. Supportive, but afraid. She said she loved me. But she loved integrity more. By the time I realized what was happening, the shape of the story had already been set. The truth didn't arrive all at once. It leaked in through paperwork, through transcripts, through the pauses people took before answering me. I saw my life reduced to patterns, my intentions flattened into risk factors. She had been preparing long before anything went wrong. Quiet consultations, hypothetical questions, careful documentation. She framed it all as concern. She framed herself as someone trying to hold things together, while I spiraled. The shared bank accounts became evidence of my control. The passwords became proof of my access. The secrets I'd trusted her with became indicators of instability. She didn't fabricate anything. She curated it. When she testified, she cried again. She talked about pressure, about fear, about loving someone who was becoming dangerous. She said she stayed longer than she should have because she believed in teamwork. She said she left when she realized staying made her complicit. People nodded. People sympathized. I watched from a distance that felt clinical, detached. Like observing my own autopsy. What broke me wasn't the exposure. It was the realization that intimacy had been one-directional. I had offered vulnerability. She had archived it. I had believed transparency meant safety. She had treated it like insurance. The exit plan worked because it didn't look like betrayal. It looked like responsibility. Now, alone, I replay moments that once felt tender. Her calm voice, her gentle corrections, the way she always positioned herself as the steady one. I see how every reassurance doubled as preparation. There's no comfort in understanding this. No clean ending. Just the slow recalibration of memory, until even the good moments feel compromised. Sometimes I still hear her telling me to breathe, telling me we were a team. I don't argue with the memory anymore. I just sit with the knowledge that the most dangerous thing I ever did was confuse being known with being safe.